I want to preach to you today from the subject, what will God do? What will God do? Let's try to come up with some two or three all-encompassing things that you can depend on God doing. Money-back guarantee. You can actually go out and declare and inform anybody that you meet that here are at least three things that God will do. And I want to take it from the third chapter of Daniel, and I won't be reading it, but it is that familiar passage, familiar account of where this came. Nebuchadnezzar ordered that an image would be built. This giant image. And he built this image, and then he went further to say that I want all of the persons, the governors, the treasurers, and all, as well as the poor, I want all of the inhabitants of the land to listen. And when you hear the sound of music, you will bow in homage to this image. And if you don't, you will be cast into the fiery furnace. And I'm king. I have that authority. I have thus proclaimed it. Thus it must happen. Because I can't take my word back. I'm king. And so it seemed to be a very simple thing. There is the image. Listen for the music. Bow. There is the image. Listen for the music. Bow. And it was made even less difficult with the threat. There is the image, hear the music, bow, because if you don't, the king will have you thrown into the fiery furnace. So now let's don't be no fool and no fanatic. And, you know, I mean, after all, religion is private, you know, and you do what you have to do to survive. Situation ethics, you do what the situation produces. And as of now, the situation produces, I bow. So now, which way do you want us to bow? Shall it be to the east or the west or the north or the south? Because the most important thing in the minds of Nebuchadnezzar and those constituents was that we be not thrown into the fiery furnace. That's the most important thing. Survival. Survive. That's important. I really hate to rip you off, but it's a matter of survival. And so, the statue's there, the morning came, the music is played, and 99.99999% of the people bow. They had no trouble. They had no trouble with bowing to this idolatrous statue because that wasn't the point. The point was survival. And so, let's bow. He has the authority. He's king. We don't want to burn. Bow! But three people had trouble with that command. And so some tattletales went in and said, "Oh, king, long live you, glory, hallelujah." Said, "We just come in to check out something this morning because, you know, we're in your corner. Did you not say that when the statue was built and the music is played that everybody wants to bow?" "Yes." "Okay. And did you not say that if anybody did not bow, they would be thrown into the fiery furnace?" "Yes." "All right, we just want to check it out." "Well, why are you asking? We got three. We know of three who are defying your order. We know of three that do not bow when the music is played. King said, who on earth? Who are they? Well, there's one by the name of Meshach. And there's one by the name of Shadrach. And there's a third one, we don't know his name, but he's a bad Negro. Bad. That's right there. Oh, yeah. They just misspelled it. They left out the Arab, but it's right there. And they will not bow. And the king said, wait a minute. I understand. They're really not citizens. They're Hebrews. And they have some god that they are devoted to. But tell them to come in and I'll explain it. I'll give it to them personally. And it won't be no problem after I explain to them. And so they had the brother and the other two come in. And the king said, now, I understand, and I certainly respect, you know, the fact that you're not necessarily citizens here, and I hear something about your God that you serve and that you devote to, but you are not in your homeland. I'm king here. And so now, I don't want no trouble out of you all. And I knew it was a matter of you clearly understanding consequence. Now be good boys. And when you hear the music, bow. That's all to it. Because the consequence, if you don't, I will have you thrown into the fiery furnace. And so possibly Meshach said, King, Your Honor, we don't have a communication problem. You didn't have to come in here to explain this. We heard. Hearing your order is not our problem. Our problem is we are committed. And our commitment goes beyond our lives. That fiery furnaces, they don't make us as fearful as disobeying our commitment to our God. We know you're king. We know you can throw us in the fire furnace. And we know you have the power to do it. We know all of that. But what you don't know is that our relationship to our God does not permit us to bow to an idolatrous statue, and we would rather obey our God and be ashes in your furnace so that our souls can be on the streets of glory. We're committed. We don't know nothing about this situation ethics. We are committed. We're sold out, wrapped up, tied up, and sold out. We're committed. And so, King, you do what you have to do, and we'll do what we will do. We will not bow. King says, oh. Mm-hmm. You all think your God is going to come. We hold it. We didn't say that. Our commitment is not on the basis that he's going to miraculously deliver us from your fire. We do not have the Mighty Mouse Superman concept of God. He may not. He's a strange God. He may set in glory and see us burn. Because he operates on both sides of the river. And burning would just mean we'd go home quicker. And he operates on both sides. He's a strange God. He does strange things. We shall not bow. King said, well, you know, you pushed it. What can I do? Do what you have to. Okay. Then a series of intimidations. bring in the strong man. Mm-hmm. You're around there talking about you haven't bowed, but you haven't seen my strong man yet. And many Christians are all right until they meet the strong man. Many of them are all right on Sunday morning. This is the day. This is the day. Everybody's all right. But then all of a sudden, Sunday turns into Monday. And you meet the strong men, such as the rent collector. And that's where we compromise. Bring in the strong man. Brought in the strong man. Y'all not going to bow yet? No, 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 no. All right, time up. Many people are all right until they get tied up into a situation where I couldn't do nothing else but steal. I was tied up. Y'all not going to bow yet? No. All right. Then they've asked him, open the door. Throw them in. And they opened the door. The flames leaped out, burned up the strong man, threw the three in, and they shut the door. Now, the preacher who I was converted under, it's not in the book, but the preacher that I was converted under said that Nebuchadnezzar went home and tried to go to sleep, and that he rolled all night and tussled with his conscience, and early the next morning he got up and got his entourage and said, let's go down to that fiery furnace. He said, what you going down there for? They were ashes minutes after they were thrown in. He said, no, but I've heard about that God. I looked at their faces when they were going in that fire. There's something strange about those folks. Let's just go down there and check the ashes out. And they went down and opened the door. And Nebuchadnezzar said, wait a minute. What is this? There is Meshach taking his morning's exercise. Now, first of all, there are the flames. Nobody put out the flames. Flames still leaping. And Meshach exercising. And Shadrach's hair is flowing in the flames. And the ropes have been burned, but there are no singed marks on their arms. And the brother is still asleep. And then he said, wait a minute, hold it. Somebody here has even done what I told him not to do. I said, cast in three. And I can count. There is Shadrach. There is Meshach. There is Abednego. And there is a fourth one that I didn't order him casting. But he's in there. How did he get in there? And wait a minute. From what I hear, he's son of God. Walking in the fiery furnace. That's my introduction. Now, based on that true account of what happened, what will God do? What can you depend on him doing? Number one, when you refuse to do less than what God has asked, you can get his attention. Oh, bless God. Amen belongs there. Hallelujah belongs there. Praise God belongs there. You have to coach white folks. Somebody didn't hear me. I said you, not just Dr. Dobson, Billy Graham, Jerry Falwell, you can get God's attention. Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless his name. Now, I really don't have to preach no more. That's enough. What else do you need but the assurance that whoever you are, wherever you go, whatever you face, you can get the attention of God. Dr. Dobson has had the attention of presidents and governors and mayors, and educators and leaders. Many of you will never be invited into the Oval Office. Many of you will never sit on the podium at the inauguration of a president. It's not set up that way. But oh, look here. I can get God's attention. Ain't that something? A whole lot of you all worried about the fact that you can't get big folks' attention. You can get God's attention. And you can know you have him. I recognize that this doesn't sound logical and rational and intellectual. That little worm-like creatures like us can say, God, I want to talk to you. But you can do it. Is anybody here witnesses to that? Ain't that good news? Ain't that worth going out and shouting it? It must be boring to be God. Be quiet, theologians. But you see, as God on his throne sitting up there every day hearing ordinary prayers. Thank you this morning. All right. Bless my food. They all right. Help me on the freeway. You're going to be okay. Drive careful. Slow down. Get your brakes checked. Bless my children. They're doing all right. Everything's okay. Help the church. It's going to be all right. Help us burn the mortgage. You got the money in the bank. Go ahead. But all of a sudden, one day, God, at this boredom period in his life, he looks down and here is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, throw us in. And God says, oh boy, action, action. We got action. And do you know what God did when they got his attention? Between swinging the boys out to swing them in, he ordered his son to get in there and prepare that place for the people of faith. There, that fire said, flame, but don't burn. Not those boys. And so I give you today the assurance that they that trust in God will have his attention. And ain't that good news? Well, I got one more, two more. You will have his presence. The actual presence of God. I threw in three. And there is a fourth one. He's the Son of God. That we who call on his name have resources we have never imagined. We have his attention. We have his presence. And there have been many times when the only explanation of my survival has been the presence of God. In Houston at 26, I was given 6 weeks to live by the Ku Klux Klan. I'm 56. Because my wife and I got his attention. We talked to him. At 28, I was given 2 days to live by the Black Panther Party. I'm 56. Because I got his presence. And 2.5 years ago, when one morning all of my inside was jacked out without anesthesia, I had no heart, no lung left, but I got his attention. I'm still living because of the attention, the presence, and thirdly, he will give you his power. He'll give you strength even to walk through the valleys and shadows of death and deal with all of the difficulties, with all of the strong men and the ropes and the fires of life. He giveth his attention, his presence, and his power. And ain't that good news? So then I can say to you today, be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. He will give you in that great big executive office or in a little cubicle over behind some boxes. When the board of directors don't even know you exist and there is no map to your office. Dr. Dobson hadn't even been by. But you and God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, will come to your little corner because he loves you and he's your God. Praise God.